prize. HFC students are offered a discounted ticket price, and you can go online to hfcc.edu and click on Campus Life for more information and to purchase tickets.
And you too can be dancing with Daddy G every Tuesday afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Malt Shop, right here on WHFR.FM. The jukebox will be spinning the platters from the 50s and the 60s. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, grab your favorite squeeze, and join me, Daddy G, at the Malt Shop on Tuesdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Be there! Or be square.
Listener supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Views and opinions expressed on the following pre-recorded show do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford College. Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to the show called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and this month my special guest is Karen Morgan. She's an intuitive reader and healer. Karen practices many modalities. However, we are going to be talking primarily about her ability to read stones using a special bowl, which helps to clear and activate people's chakras. So, Karen, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me. This is wonderful.
Well, it's still early at the start of the show, so I don't know if you'll be thinking that by the end, but hopefully you will. But again, thanks for being here. And I just am curious, how did you get started doing readings? I mean, I know you work with the stones and the bowl, but how did you get started in metaphysics in general?
Yeah, well, I actually used to work in Dearborn. I worked here for maybe 15 years, and during that time there was a store called Alhambra Institute, and they were teaching metaphysical, teaching palmistry and tea leaf reading and crystal ball reading and tarot, and I started taking classes there. The first one I took was palmistry, and during that class I said, there is no way I'm coming back and taking astrology because it's such a diverse topic. You have to learn about the planets and the houses, and there's just so much. And my teacher just snickered at me because she knew I would be back. She, you know, Alexia ran that institute, and they've since moved out to Coldwater, but they were phenomenal. The classes that were available were very, very helpful, and one led to the next, and within a year, yes, I was in astrology. And so myself, using all of the tools that I've learned over the years, whether it's the numerology or astrology, they all play into the bowl. They all play into reading the stones. And the way I got the chakra information was more through the healing modalities that I've been learning, through healing touch, through Reiki, through even reconnective healing, and even foot reflexology. So with foot reflexology, you can take and look at the foot and see different pressure points that respond to the heart, the lungs, the liver, and different parts of the body. So through that, then, as well, I use that in my readings for reading about the chakras, understanding where I might feel that. So when I'm reading for somebody, I have this large bowl, and they take a group of stones, and right now I have 7 stones that I read. 15. 7 of those represent the 7 major chakras. And then the other additional stones are just for more clarification. So there's a stone in there that will have that shape like an arrow, and that will indicate what direction someone's going in next. So when after someone throws the stones into the bowl or casts them out there, we start clearing, and typically I'll start with the root chakra and finding ways and belief systems that people are still hanging on to that are stopping them from being able to move forward. And as we clear the energy, usually starting with the root chakra, moving up to the second and the third into the heart chakra, by the time we get up to the heart or the throat, my intent is that my clients are able to read along, right along with me, that their intuition is kicked in and they're feeling and they're talking to their guides, they're receiving the same information I am. But the difference is, as I'm talking about it, or they're hearing it and they're saying, stop, please shut up, because I'm getting more than you're saying and I really want to control the reading, which does happen once in a while. So that's my greatest goal, is for someone else to really trust their own intuition. Everyone is intuitive. There's no one who's not. It's just difficult to trust in that intuition when we've been misguided and when we followed our guidance and that didn't work out. It's tough.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I think that dreams can often tell people mm-hmm. things. I mean, even if you don't think you're psychic per se, that sometimes dreams can kind of give you a heads up as to what might be happening in your life, or might provide an answer to, you know, a problem, something like that. But when you do the stones, I mean, how did you start with that? I mean, did you just somebody mm-hmm. tell you about that and you followed mm-hmm. up on that, or how did that work?
They did. I bought a game several years ago, and it was just seven stones, which represented the seven chakras. And Lynn Gunsberg was her name, and she used to be in the Dearborn area, and she's since moved out of state. She might be in Washington State now. So she had this little game, and you threw these seven chakra stones on the board and read the stones. I had an immediate connection. It was just so easy for me to read that way. And then from there, I did take that game and took it to several fairs and used it there, and got frustrated with it because it didn't feel like it was going far enough with the seven stones. And then I would start working and using numerology and do numerology or astrology or tarot card readings. And I kept on going back to the stones. And finally, a couple of years ago, I said, that's it. I've had it with the stones. They're falling off the table when people throw them, and I'm tired of losing them. So I went in search for a bowl or for some kind of a container that people could throw these in that they weren't going to fly out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look what I found.
Right. I've seen your bowl. I mean, it's huge. I mean, where'd you find that?
I just walked into this little out-of-the-way store. I'd never been there before. And there was the bowl staring at me. And it wasn't as though I was walking in the store looking for this container for my stones.
Right.
I was on the search for this for quite some time, over a year. And when I saw it, I shook my head no. I just kind of screamed. I said, no. And
no, in that you don't believe you just found this?
No, I don't believe. I'm not. This is too big. Uh-huh. I'm not getting this.
Oh, okay.
So I walked up to the bowl, and I gave it the test. I banged it on the side, and it went, and it gave a great sound.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Right.
And I was hooked. I did not buy it at that time. I went home and thought about it, and a couple of days later, my husband was with me. We were in the area, and I said, come on to this little store. Let's go in, and you can see what I was talking about. And as soon as he saw it, he just said, get it. Mm-hmm. Just get it.
Right. No doubt.
No,
right?
No doubt. No mm-hmm. doubt. So, mm-hmm.
Is that a heavy bowl at all?
It could weigh 20 pounds. It's more awkward because it's so large, but there's a little lip underneath the stem on the bottom, and then I can hold it by the top inside the lip of the bowl, and right. I can kind of carry it on my hip, or it's really not a problem.
Right. So how big, just for our listening audience, how big would you say this bowl is, and if you could maybe describe it a little bit
okay.
and how it's designed? I know it might not be easy.
Okay, it looks like a chalice. It's silver, and it's made out of this beautiful metal. It's probably about 30 inches in diameter, and the bowl itself might be 18 inches deep, and it sits on a stem. So I want to say it brings it about 2.5 feet high. I place it on top of a pedestal, so it brings it up high enough so when I'm reading with somebody, we're sitting together and we're kind of at the same height, almost table height.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty good sized. I mean, but it doesn't get tiring throughout the day when you're giving readings or anything like that.
No, not at all.
Really? Well, no. That's good. Because, I mean, it is a big bowl. And I saw you at a couple of different shows, and every time I try to talk to you, you're always busy, you know, giving readings and stuff. So, and you, we talked a little bit earlier before the show, and you said that was something that was unique, that doesn't usually happen, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think because what I do is so difficult to comprehend and understand, it's difficult to explain. But when people get through with a reading, they'll say, I never knew it was going to be like that. And recently I listened to a show by Carolyn Mace, M-Y-S-S, and she has one of a previous interview she had done on The Wizard of Oz. She got together with a producer, someone who was connected with The Wizard of Oz, and they talked about The Wizard of Oz and the chakras. And that's the best way I can think of to explain the bowl. So people cast these stones, and seven of them represent the seven major chakras.
Right.
So in The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy goes into Oz, and she goes there with her first three chakras activated. She's a young teenager, so she has her root chakra, her sacral, and her solar chakra activated. And she gets there, and she meets the next chakra would be the heart, and the Tin Man was looking for a heart. And then she meets the lion, who's looking for courage. That would be the throat chakra. And then she meets the scarecrow, who needs a brain. And then once the story is all over with, at the end, she finds out she could have activated her crown chakra anytime she wanted. She had it within her all along. And that's similar to the way you never know how this is all going to come together, but somehow it works out that activating the chakras and going through these and understanding what energies are going through you right now, what your chakras have to tell you, it's just a perfect story, just like The Wizard of Oz. It's just perfect. And with the supporting stones that I have, understanding where your guidance is, what type of direction you're getting, I have a stone that represents angels, and where your angels or your guides are giving you protection, are comforting and keeping negativity, they're keeping anything from blocking you away. Another stone is representative of that puppy dog energy. It's a Dalmatian stone. And so a puppy dog energy would be that gratitude that a dog has as soon as you come home. They don't care if you let them out.
Right.
They don't care if you feed them. They just want to know, do you know my love? Do you feel my love? I just love you so much. I don't care what you give me. I'm giving you nothing but love. So we look for where is the gratitude in life. And then so when people cast the stones into the bowl, I have a pile of sand on the bottom and then a small round placemat. And on that placemat, on the edges, I have additional stones, 12 additional stones, which breaks up the circle, the bottom of the bowl, into 12 different categories, which are love, blockages, communication. And basically, they represent the chakras, and they just give more clarification to the entire reading.
Mm-hmm. But those are stones that are not thrown, right? I mean, they're already there on the bottom of the bowl.
When I first started, I had a place card placemat that had words there, and I just replaced those with the stones. It seemed like it was more, I don't know, that my board that I had got kind of tired and worn out. And this looks a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And quickly, I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and this month my special guest is Karen Morgan. She's an intuitive reader and healer, and Karen also practices many modalities. However, we are going to be talking about her ability to read stones using a special bowl, which helps to clear and activate people's chakras, among other things. Now, when people come to see you, are the stones that represent the chakras are always the same stones? They don't, you know, mix or match. They wouldn't change at all. It's always the same stones that represent the chakras, and the other stones, the other eight stones that remain the same. Mm-hmm. And they, I don't know, tell some kind of fortune.
That's an interesting question to ask, because the last event that I did, I pulled one of the stones out and I didn't use it. So what happened when I put the stones down, this one just kind of flew off to the side and got buried in the sand. And I heard, don't use this one. So I had pulled that one out for a few readings. But typically I do use the chakra stones are all the same. And then the additional stones, the additional eight stones, I have changed those on and off over again. I've used to use a circular stone, and it was, and I think it was made out of agate, but it was circular. It was a polished, nice stone, and it represented sort of like spinning that wheel of fortune. Where are you going to end up next? What's coming up next in your life? And that one I took out of the readings, and I brought in a different stone. And the stone that I brought in represents that Christed energy. It represents that light, that future of ascension, of where we're all going. What's up, you know, what's coming in next? How are we going to infuse that light that came into the earth to change all of us a couple thousand years ago? And it's not that I don't believe in Jesus. I just believe that he came in to represent that light that we're supposed to be able to move ourselves up to so that we can do so much more.
Right.
And I think that would be representative in the healing modalities that I've learned.
Right. So do these people just take all the stones and throw them at once, or do they throw the chakra stones first, or how does that work?
They pick them all. Well, the way it works is they sit down at the bowl, and I explain a little bit about how the bowl works, and then I'll sound the outside of the bowl, and I'll sound it three times, and each time I sound the bowl, my client will call their name into the bowl. They're calling on their higher self. They're calling on their Akashic records to open up. They're calling to announce to their angels, their guides, I'm here. I'm here for a reading. You know, if you want to get through to me, the door is open. I'm open for suggestions. Tell me what you want me to hear right now in my life. And then once I feel like the energy is synced with that, then they pick up all the stones in the center. There's 15 of them. They'll need both hands, and those stones they cast all at once.
Mm-hmm. And then do you read the chakra stones first? Is that how it proceeds?
Typically, it really depends on the person. I've worked with some people who their chakras are very well activated. They might have had a massage earlier. They might have done something to bring their energy up to a higher level. So some people all start with the root chakra, and I might talk about the root chakra and that energy and the stones that even combine with that one. If there are other stones that are very close by, I'll read all of them together. But sometimes it takes a while to get past that root chakra. And in those cases, when that happens, I might throw in something like talk about hand mudras and show them a hand mudra, which would activate the energy of the root chakra. So a hand mudra that people are all familiar with is hands in prayer or gassho position. You put your palm of your hands together and put them against your heart chakra in the center. And that is balancing the right and left hemisphere of the brain. It's making that connection to the divine so that the divine, you are ready. It's a direct connection so you can to pray. And that's what it's basically used for. But there are hand mudras that would be difficult to explain over the radio that would activate all of the chakras. So sometimes to start that root chakra off when it's not, I don't feel the energy's moving to talk about the next one. I might talk about the color of the root chakra. I might talk about the frequency and talk about belief systems. I'll just go into a reading and start getting in and talking about belief systems that I believe my client might have had that they're ready to release.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever work with somebody that maybe you don't even get a reading from their chakras because they're so closed off, something along those lines?
I have in the past many times, and there have been a couple of instances that I've actually told the person that I'm not the right person to read for them right now, and definitely give them a full refund and tell them if they want the reading to go on, we can go on with it. But I don't want anybody who comes to a fair, who comes to me, to be unhappy with a reading. If you're going to put money out for thin air, for what's going to come out of my mouth and what's going to come out of what they're going to hear through my reading, whether it's their own intuition or not, I don't want them to walk away unhappy and then maybe not get a reading or pursue that, maybe have their cards read or have something else done by somebody else and have a good experience. I really want people to be happy. I want to feel like they've been able to move from here to there and they've actually gone through some sludge and cleared out their life a little bit.
Right. How often does that happen?
It probably Maybe 6-7 times in my career. Not often.
Right.
And most people will, probably twice that people have walked away. And then a few times I know somebody should have walked away. They just really weren't ready. And I'm not saying that I'm a better reader than other people. My style of reading is meant to get you on your path and push you forward and help you propel yourself forward. And some people really don't want to hear a lot of this.
Right, because they're afraid of what they might learn?
I would say that most of the people who come to me are people who've been studying metaphysics for quite some time. I don't usually get the new person.
Right.
It's very rare. A lot of times I'll go through an entire event and I'm reading just for other readers.
So they're a little more open to what you have to say, in other words.
Right. And I think that lately I am more open myself to letting my readings go in another direction. So bring my readings to say that, okay, instead of a reading, we're going to start out with healing. And I might start out with healing touch. Or sometimes I'll intuitively get that somebody has a headache or that something is really blocked. And I'll ask, you know, would it be okay if we do it this way? And they tell me, they've always said yes, because they feel that pressure around their heart, or they feel that headache. They feel a soreness in their hip, that it's very difficult for them to sit. And if somebody's having a hard time sitting with me, and they're going to sit down for a half an hour, it's not going to work if they're uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Now, when people come to you, do they ask you for something specific? I mean, something they want cured or they want to know about? Or do you just give a general reading, period?
People rarely come to me with anything specific. And typically when I ask at the end, do you have any questions? There are no questions. Their jaw just drops, because they never expected that. And I never know what to expect. I don't know what's going to happen.
Just the fact that they have responded in a positive way, I'm sure it makes you feel good, though, too, right?
Oh, definitely.
And, I mean, you can tell by their reaction and the things they say that they get it somehow, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So when you do this, though, I mean, do people, you said they get into it so they can do their own reading.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you mean by that? I mean, how do they help out with their own reading?
Well, it's my opinion that there is not one thing that a psychic or an intuitive can tell you that you don't already know. On some level, you know everything. It's just opening that door and holding it open.
Right.
And sometimes that's exactly what I do. I literally just hold that doorway open. And my intent is people are just comfortable with their own intuition and really hearing it. It's nice if I say, this is what's going on. Usually I'll get confirmation about things that have happened in the past for somebody. And once they know that I can see that, how would I know that? Sometimes I'll see into their home, and it's not as though I see their messy house or anything, but I can literally see, I go right to where the energy is in their house that they've got to move out of, or you know, something will come together and it's about what's going on at work for them.
Right.
But whatever comes up, it comes up for a reason to clear.
Right. Are you surprised sometimes with some of the things that come up?
I have been. Probably one of my most surprising readings, I tell people about it all the time. I did an entire reading on the movie Spaceballs. So I don't know if you have ever seen the movie.
Was a Mel Brooks film,
really,
wasn't it? Yeah, comedy.
Yeah, really quirky comedy. And
yeah, right. Well,
I started talking about the movie and getting into the now. There was one scene where the helmet guy's in the space station, right in the center at command control, and he's asking them to rewind the videotape to get into the now. And this person was having difficulty getting into the now, and so we started there. And I never left the movie Spaceballs.
That is weird. I mean, it was kind of a metaphor for what this person was going through in a way.
It was, and this was someone who was very familiar with the movie Spaceballs.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. So they knew all the characters and could relate, right?
Right. Yeah. Especially that scene where there was one scene where the princess had brought a huge luggage, and they had to, after the spaceship crashed, they had to carry this luggage across the desert. And finally, Barf, one of the characters, said, "What's in this anyway?" And when they open it, you saw the movie.
I never saw the movie,
When they open this huge luggage, it's gigantic and it's heavy. There's this, nothing in it but one hairdryer. And the princess says, it's my industrial size hairdryer and I can't live without it. And in her mind, when you get into what the princess was going through, and she had to be beautiful all the time, so she needed her beauty parlor, she needed her hairdryer. There's no electricity in the desert, but that's where she was at the time.
Right, but it's kind of a touchstone, right?
Yeah, that was probably the wildest reading I've ever done.
Yeah, well, no, that's different. I mean, I don't think too many people compare readings to, comedy about space or what have you. And I know it was a takeoff on the Star Wars thing.
But
never really saw the film. But in regards to a reading, now as you progress, now do people just start picking up on what you're saying and then do they begin to channel things that they need to hear?
They have. They mm-hmm. absolutely have. I've had people go through an entire reading and then sit down afterwards and they said, okay, Karen, now sit still because I'm going to channel a message for you. And they brought back to me a channeled message.
For you personally?
For me personally, mm-hmm. yes.
Wow, that's got to be kind of freaky, right?
It happened not once, but it happened 3 times in a row at the same event on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
And I really had to listen to the message there.
Right. Was it information you felt you could use?
I had hoped so. I know I took it down and I've got it and I think about it, but I still haven't figured it out. Mm-hmm. I still haven't figured that particular day out. So I've been to that specific event the following year, which I think was last year, again, and I went up to some of the people that I had talked to and they remembered absolutely nothing. It's a good thing I took notes.
Right.
But,
right.
Yeah.
Well, you can tell that it was a spontaneous event that mm-hmm. they really were channeling, because I've heard that from many psychics that, once it comes through them, they don't really remember, per se, what they told somebody. And then a year later, somebody comes up and said, it just happened just the way you said, mm-hmm. this event or whatever, or something similar to that. And it's like their reaction is, really? Okay, if you say so,
Yeah.
So, again, like you said, either write it down or sometimes the psychics will write it down so mm-hmm. that they'll give it to their client or whatever, so that client will have something to go by. But I think that's interesting that, spontaneous readings for yourself,
mm-hmm.
again, that's unique. I don't think that happens too often, like you said, just a few times, but, still interesting. So when you're going along doing this and you're working with the stones, and after you do the chakra readings, what follows next as far as the readings with the stones?
Well, the chakras and the supporting stones, sometimes they're read together.
Okay.
Because if two stones are touching or they're pointing towards one another, their energies are in the same category, their energies are in the same piece of the pie on the board, then they will play into one another.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to have really strong rules and say I was going to start with the root chakra and work my way up to the crown. And then I ran across a woman last year who her chakras operated from the crown down to the root. And I couldn't read it any other way. So I don't put any rules on the readings and say this is exactly the way it's got to go. For the majority of people, I will start with a root chakra and work my way up and then go over the stones, and whichever ones I might not have talked about yet, I'll pick up on energies that they're portraying and go from there.
Mm-hmm. Again, I just want to take time out to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Karen Morgan. We're talking about her ability to read stones, use a special bowl, and how it helps people open up their chakras and receive messages from the great beyond, we'll say. So, again, very interesting. Now, when you're giving a reading, what I want to know is, if a certain stone, does a certain stone maybe represent romance, and if it's near the heart chakra stone, would that indicate something, or how does that work exactly?
It varies from reading to reading. Nothing is the same.
Right, but again, there is no accidents. Once you throw the mm-hmm. stones, they land where they're supposed to land,
yes.
Right?
And the heart chakra stone might not represent a romance as much as maybe the throat chakra stone. So maybe somebody will have difficulty communicating with the opposite sex or whoever their relationship is with.
Right.
And once that throat chakra is opened up, then that might indicate a relationship coming forth. Once they can talk more about, we all have problems with what does love really mean, and everybody knows what fear is. And I think part of what happens in the readings is that people get out of that matching other people's energy of fear. It's really easy to get caught up in somebody else's drama in their life and then bring that drama into your life and keep that activated. But to me, when I'm doing a reading, it's all about the client. It's not about the energies of the other people around them in their lives. It's about them detaching from other people's energies and getting in your own, on your own path, and staying on your own path and not being affected by everything else that's going on with the other people in your life. And it's very difficult. It can be difficult for any of us, especially, you know, if it's somebody that we live with or we work with, or we're with them all the time.
Right. Well, also, I would imagine they want things to work out a certain way, and they might get frustrated if you're telling them or they're experiencing the fact that, you know, it might not be the best situation for them, whether it's work, romance, whatever it might be. Does anybody get fearful about what they might find out from a reading?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't go into a fear portion of the reading. I don't feel like that's anywhere I belong.
Right.
I think we pull fear out.
Right. Well, I just think that sometimes people are afraid what they might find out because, you know, the truth can be there, and it's like maybe they do want a certain situation, a relationship to work out, whatever the case may be, but maybe in their heart of hearts they know that this person's toxic, really. They're not the right person for them. And they're afraid they might find that out and maybe find they have to move on to get divorced or whatever the case may be. Are some of these things coming up when you give these readings?
I used to stay away from the divorce. People would ask me, should I get a divorce or should I go for this next relationship?
Right. Well, or leave a job or whatever.
And I would always say, I'm not getting into that at all. But then I had a friend who... She wanted to divorce her husband, and I kept on hearing no, and I told her no. And then she did divorce her husband, and I mean, I was adamant that she should stay with her husband, that relationship should continue. But she said, no, I just don't want to be there anymore. He loved her, and I think she still loved him, and they had kids together. They had a long relationship.
Right.
Well, she did leave him, and the man that she left him for just did nothing but use her for 5-6 years. And now she's... And now I know when I hear something in the line of no, don't get a divorce or don't, you know, get out of that relationship, I'm more comfortable in saying exactly what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know all the facts of anybody's life, so there's probably a better way to put it that I can tell them this is what I'm hearing, and this is the information that I'm getting.
Right.
You take what I have and use the rest of your life that you know more about your relationship than me.
Right, because ultimately it's their life and they do have free choice, and you know, they don't care what somebody tells them, you know, they have to follow what they think is best for them.
Yeah, and typically that kind of thing surprisingly doesn't come up that much. It's relationships and where people are with other people, that doesn't come up in my readings for some reason. It does and it doesn't, not to the degree it used to, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's fortunately, I really don't like that, the question of should I leave my job or not. It's either I get a quick yes or a quick no, or I'm not getting anything on that. Let's get back on track, because that's not where we're supposed to go.
Right. So you just try to keep it open from that standpoint. Just once they throw the stones, whatever comes up, comes up. And if it happens to touch on whatever aspect of their life that you see, then you'll comment on it. But otherwise, you don't really follow what they're most concerned about, right? If they have questions, like you said, about relationships, jobs, whatever the case may be, education, you know, they just have to be open, and whatever you receive, you just let it flow through you?
Right. I give them the best that I have, and I try and move on forward, because the readings that I do are more about clearing the energies around that specific individual, around my client, It's not about getting into the energies of what are other people thinking about me, or, you know, why haven't, you know, even if people will ask, why haven't I gotten that promotion? Well, because you're supposed to leave that. Maybe they were supposed to leave that position. Maybe they were supposed to move on.
Right.
And they, typically people will know more than me.
Right.
And their guidance they're getting is dead on. I just feel like a lot of times I'm just holding that doorway open so that they can hear what, you know, their angels are always knocking right. on the door. Come on up. They're knocking on the ceiling. Come on up. You're almost there. And they just have to get out of the fear and get out of the lower chakra energies and move on up and start thinking from their heart and using more of their intuition, more of their guidance, and connecting with spirit above.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I think that can be somewhat fearful because of the fact that, you know, they may not want change or whatever, even though they know that what you're telling them is probably best if they feel they should make a change. But when you're giving these readings, when do they usually take over? Is it like halfway through your reading, or is it towards the end, or how does that work?
Well, sometimes they don't say anything to me at all. And I might ask them at the end, and they'll just smirk. And they've been there with me all along. They've been hearing things all along, but they don't want to interrupt me because they want to hear what I have to say and see how it meshes. So I can't say that it happens every time that people will tell me, you know, let me just tell you what's going on. But typically, towards the end of the reading, maybe the last 10 minutes. People say, wait a minute, I've just got to tell you how dead on you are, because this is what's going on, and this is what's been happening in my life, and this is what it means to me. So,
have you surprised a lot of people along the way?
I surprise myself more than anybody.
Really? Yeah. Well, I guess that's got to be kind of refreshing, right? Mm-hmm. Every time you give a reading, you never know what's going to come out.
No, mm-hmm. it's kind of scary. And I used to get stage fright. I'd say that stopped maybe about a year ago. I don't want to go. And then, I'm going to go. And I'd be excited about going and doing readings. And at the same time, I'd be afraid because you never know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Now, again, you said it took a year. But, I mean, the more you do it, obviously, the mm-hmm. more you get used to it. And, mm-hmm. again, it's trusting your own intuition, right? And
oh,
just
absolutely.
Letting things flow through you.
Right.
So that's, I guess... good for you, right? That just makes you a better reader probably and a better person, mm-hmm. just knowing that, you know, you're not afraid of expressing what comes, you know, through you, because it's not really you, it's, you know, angels, or I don't know. What do you consider that? Do you feel like angels are talking to you or spirits talking to you? How do you perceive that?
I would say it's a little bit of everything. I was learning the Akashic Records and reading the Akashic Records over the last couple of years. And once I started in with a book and a group of mine that I was with, we were reading this book together and going through the lessons. And as soon as I opened that book up, I said, oh my gosh, this is what I'm already doing. I'm already opening the Akashic Records. And then the book and the lessons in it just helped me understand that a little bit more. So I'd say we're accessing the Akashic Records together, mm-hmm. and that's something everybody has the ability to do for themselves. And we're definitely talking to angels and talking to guidance. And sometimes, and I'm not a big channeler. It's not that I don't channel the information, but I'm not going to connect with grandma and grandpa and whoever has passed on that you're looking for. That's not the type of readings that I do. Mm-hmm. It might happen, but not frequently.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is that, the Akashic Records? What can you describe that?
I would say, well, I don't have anything on that in front of me, but I'm not going to give you the best description. But the way I understand it is, it's your life plan, the lesson that you had, what you planned on achieving here, and what is stored in those records is where you're going next and what's going to happen next on your path. How we can.
Right. That's. Well, from what I understand, too, it has your entire history. I mean, what you've done in the past as well.
So true.
Just not where you're at now, what you're going to be going through. I mean, again, from what I understand, everybody makes life choices at the beginning of their life. You know, they know who their parents are going to be, et cetera, where they're probably going to end up, what they'll be doing. And do you find that to be true? Have people said that to you, maybe during a reading or anything like that?
I don't know if anybody said anything like that. I mean, I've heard that many, many times. I don't know that anything is predestined. I mean, sometimes things are so synchronistic that they just you know that the universe is just guiding you. You have no way out of it. But I still, it's hard for me. It's even hard for me to really buy into everything that I read, that everything is just so pat and there's a perfect answer for everything.
Mm-hmm. Do you surprise yourself with some of your answers?
Absolutely.
Yeah, all the time, right?
All the time.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you surprise other people, though, with some of the things that you tell them,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And do they say, wow, I never even, you know, I didn't realize that was a problem, or I didn't realize that was going on. Do they say things like that to you once the reading's over?
Well, for instance, last weekend I was doing a reading for a client, and she was living partially in Florida and partially in Michigan. And she hadn't committed to the move to Michigan or staying in Florida or whatever, but she was in between. And by the end of the reading, I explained to her there are people in Florida that need you and there are people in Michigan that need you, and you have to take care of part of it. And for both of us, I was surprised at how that all came about, and so was she. She never saw. She knew she was, you know, tormented. Why have I sold everything in Florida and haven't completed the move? But then after the reading, she totally got it. She had to be there for a specific individual for a while longer. And then another individual in Michigan really needed her here.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's not the best example, but things just end up working out that they the readings make sense at the end
mm-hmm.
or in the middle.
Right, right. Or whenever they might be, you know. Now, when you do the readings, too, I know you said you banged on the bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else special that you do, maybe before an event or before a reading, that kind of helps you?
Well, myself, I'll typically sit and meditate for maybe a half an hour and talk to the bowl and just get in sync with that energy. And I might just sit there and play the bowl and bang on it over and over again for a half an hour. As long as I can. What I'm doing with what happens naturally with a reading, and I can't, I think this started before I got the bowl, is that my body, my chakras go into the perfect resonance, the highest vibration, the highest frequencies that my client can handle. And sometimes for me, it takes me a couple of minutes to get into that space. And then once I get into that space, I'm holding the energies of that frequency that they're supposed to move to, that they're supposed to be able to hold, and then we start the reading. And I'm not saying it's better to be at a higher frequency or a lower frequency, but for someone to make a move and to get out of the stuck energies that they're in and to be able to move forward, that's just what happens naturally. And then also I look at changing perceptions. And so sometimes people come with only one way of seeing things, and that's the way they sit down. And when they leave, my hope is that they're able to see more of other people's perspective. Part of the way I look at it is if we were looking at a flat map on a folded piece of paper, you're opening that up. And that's what I looked at when I was young. And now if someone's going to look at a map, they might just go on Google Earth and they might look at it from up above and see a whole different perspective. So they're able to see the streams and the water and the trees and different things that they never saw were there before. And so that's my hope, is just to pull them out of the way they saw things as, this is the only way to see it, this is tough, I don't like my life, I don't like what's going on. And then to see more of, from a different perspective, okay, well, this is how it can change me.
Mm-hmm. Right. Again, very briefly, just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station that is always making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Karen Morgan. She's an intuitive reader and healer, and Karen practices many modalities. However, we are basically talking about her ability to read stones using a special bowl, which helps to clear and activate people's chakras and give them insight into their life as well. Now, when you do this, after you give a reading, how does that make you feel? I mean, do you feel joyful that you might have helped somebody, or how do you feel?
Typically, I'm very, very happy. And even when I don't think that things have worked out and I think that I haven't given people enough, a lot of times they'll walk away and they'll have this big aha. They get it because they got the messages that came along from their own guides, and they understand more of what's going on in their life. They've been able to change their perspective and change their view.
Mm-hmm. How often do these people, you said that they kind of elevate, do they, as they're sitting there, do they elevate and kind of see a whole different vision of what's going on in their life? Does that happen?
Yeah, it typically does.
Mm-hmm. Is that for every reading or just depends on the person?
I don't think any of my readings, people look at, you know, each of them. I think they see something different in all of them, and they get what they're supposed to get out of the reading.
Right. And typically a reading is how long?
About 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
Yeah. I've tried to shorten it and to do shorter readings at 20 minutes, but for me to cover that many stones, if somebody wants a shorter reading, I'll typically just pull out the supporting stones and just read the chakra stones.
Mm-hmm. And how do these clear a person's chakra centers, you know, when you read them? I mean, how does that correspond to actually clearing them out and improving them?
Well, it's kind of by osmosis. It just happens. Maybe it's like that 100th monkey syndrome, or maybe it's like there was a story where one animal was cleaning his potatoes in the water before he ate them, and then somehow that happened 100 miles away with this other group of animals that they got it. I forgot what that was called.
Is there a principle? I mean, I'm not really familiar with that.
Okay. Well, the
but it's kind of like osmosis, though. I mean, there's no real. It's like one group of animals didn't watch another group and learn from mm-hmm. them. They just kind of knew intuitively to go ahead and clean something, you know, a vegetable or a fruit, you know, the same way another group did.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yeah. But with the bowl, there is an energy in that bowl that is palpable, and many, many people have walked up to me and they just drool over it. They feel it. They know
really?
It's there.
They just got to touch it.
They know it's there. They know that bowl is channeling for me. They know the stones are working with it. And we've been working together for, like I said, 2.5 years with the stone and the bowl, and everything that I learn, it is learning right along with me. The bowl is constantly clearing. The vibration of the stones is constantly clearing. So as we're reading and we're talking about the chakras, it's clearing the energy in the chakras. It's helping clients clear their energetic system, clear their aura. And I've never had a aura photo taken before and after. I probably should do that. That would be interesting.
Yeah, it would
with
be.
A client.
Right. But, I mean, do people say they feel better? Maybe, you know, they were having a pain in their hip or something and they don't mm-hmm. have it, or it's lessened somehow. It's not as bad as it was. Do people comment on that?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
There was, and when people will, sometimes at the end I have a group of hand mudra cards similar to, I was talking about the hand mudras. So there are some hand mudras that will relieve a headache. And so sometimes I'll just say, I just get a feeling I've got to pull a card in. I'll shuffle the cards and one flies out and it's for a headache. And this is the hand mudra you do for a headache. And we'll go through it and breathe through it. And breath is so important when you're doing hand mudras, when you're doing anything. And their headache will be gone. I've had people remark that their sight improved afterwards.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To the point where they don't need glasses or anything like that, or not quite to that point?
Not quite to that point, but there's definitely a change,
mm-hmm.
and they know that if they clear some of these issues, in my view, that their vision would improve.
Mm-hmm. And do they learn things about maybe better nutrition, something that might, you know, do something better for them in the long run, and that they actually practice that?
Well, one of the things that comes up quite a bit, we'll talk about the vagus nerve or the pneumogastric nerve. It's a nerve that runs along the spinal column and branches out and feeds energy to every major organ in the body, the heart, the liver, the spleen. And if that vagus nerve is not activated and not sending that energy through the body, then someone can get really depressed. And I'm not a medical personnel, so I'm not giving any medical advice, but I'll look at different ways we can activate that vagus nerve, which would be through humming or singing or splashing cold water on the face. It's something I recommend to many, many of my clients. So we talk about the vagus nerve. And I have a book that I'll pull out often that has pictures of that vagus nerve. It has other information that I can refer people to. Mm-hmm. So as things come up, I keep on putting new pieces of paper in my book pages and will refer people to information that I can pass on similar to that.
Mm-hmm. But again, if you feel that something is really seriously wrong, I mean, you will say maybe you should seek medical help or something like that, right?
I would. I always tell people, and I'm definitely not, I'm not a physician. I can't diagnose, but I can, this is what I'm getting for you. And mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever had to send somebody to a physician and say, this is really dire for you right now. I've not seen anything like that. But people will agree with me that, you know, yeah, I understand what that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Do you try to stay away from what might be considered bad news if you let people know what you're actually seeing or feeling?
No. I'll try and buff it up a little bit. I'll try and soften it so it's not so harsh. But if I'm getting a message that somebody's got to take caution in their life, whatever the case may be, whether it's on the road or it's with somebody at work.
Right, or through the air, yeah. Or whatever the case may be. But you don't come out and say, well, I feel you're going to be taking a trip in 2 weeks. Don't go because there's going to be a plane crash or something. You don't say anything like that.
I actually have one time.
Oh, really?
I actually told somebody to do not go on that trip with that person.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So they thought they might be harmed or something on that trip?
Well, I don't remember how it came out in the reading, but it did. And this person, I think that they were really on the fence as to whether or not they were going to go. And they weren't asking me that question specifically. It just happened to come up, and I just told them, this is what I'm seeing, and I don't think it's a good idea for you to do this.
Right, but you can't obviously force somebody. Did you ever find out if
they did not. They canceled the plans,
uh-huh.
Definitely.
And they felt that was the right decision then, obviously.
It turned out to be a really good choice.
Really? Good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you feel after you give a reading? Do you feel elated, or are you really tired? Does it wear you out? How do you feel after you've done maybe a day's worth of readings?
Mm-hmm. Well, I used to get really, really tired, and that just doesn't happen anymore. I mean, I might be normal tired from working 10, 12 hours, but I'm not as tired as I used to be. I don't say I've got to go and rest for a week because I'm so tired from reading.
That's not good if you're that tired. I mean, you've never really had to rest for a week, have you? I mean, maybe not give readings, but...
One time I slept for 3 days.
Oh, really?
That was a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you were just so drained.
Just wiped out from everything.
Wow. And that's only happened one time then,
that
right?
Happened the one time I did my 3 days and...
Yeah.
But now I think that my schedule of meditation is much more concise, and it's, you know, I meditate every single day.
Yeah, it's consistent.
I absolutely have to do that. I have to make that connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not right with myself until I do. I find myself I'm not able to get in sync with the day.
Right.
So
that does help. And now you do that at the beginning of the day? That kind of sets up your day? Or how does that work?
I try and do it as soon as I wake up. I don't do anything else. I might go to the restroom and that's it. I go in and meditate.
Mm-hmm. So you forego the cup of coffee or whatever first thing in the morning?
I don't drink coffee, so
oh, really?
I'm lucky.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it could be, you know, some type of cola or whatever. I mean, it's the caffeine. I mean, we're addicted, or many people are, including myself. You know,
I'm a chocoholic. I'll admit it. I'm not a. I don't do coffee
or tea or anything
tea
like
or,
that. With,
no cigarettes.
Or
no
pop. Yeah.
No soda.
Well, yeah, right. So yeah. Now, do you give readings to yourself? Do you feel that you're objective when you try to do that, or don't do that at all?
You know, I see other friends for readings. I literally mm-hmm. do. We'll share and we'll trade with one another. I don't like to read for people that I know really, really well. My daughter's always asking me for readings, and I, no.
Yeah.
Just doesn't happen. Once in a while I will.
But, yeah.
No, I can't give her advice. I know too much.
Right. And I'm sure as a mother, you mm-hmm. want her to do certain things or might want her to do mm-hmm. certain things. So you'd be a little biased. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, I think that's the problem with, you know, anybody that tries to give themselves a reading, too. You know, there are certain things that maybe they're hopeful. They want a certain situation to turn out. And they might delude themselves when that's not really, again, if it's somebody that is more objective, they might have a whole different, you know, outlook on what might be happening.
Right.
So that's why you don't give yourself readings generally?
I really don't. I mm-hmm. don't give myself readings, but in a heartbeat, you know, friends and I will get together and we'll do that. I meet regularly with friends and we have specific places that we go. We go to a labyrinth in Clarkston and we might walk the labyrinth and do some meditations together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I rejuvenate myself. That's how I bring myself back.
Right.
Energize myself.
Right. Is this labyrinth, is that outdoors?
It is. There's a in Clarkston, it's off of Sashabaugh Road, off of I-75.
Uh-huh.
It's connected to the McLaren Center, I want to say. It's called the Healing Gardens, and there's just this beautiful labyrinth, and there's also some nice walking trail and some beautiful flowers. And it's just all come in bloom now because they put the plants down, and they're starting to take root. It's really come back to life for the
right.
for the season now.
So it's kind of invigorating in a way mm-hmm. to go and visit this place?
Yeah, that's my spot.
Mm-hmm. How often do you do that?
Maybe a couple of times a month. It's not
oh,
that
really?
Close to me, but
yeah.
But I have friends that are kind of in between that point, so that's a good meeting point for us that we'll mm-hmm. get together there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I thought you were going to say, well, you do it, you know, once or twice a year and that's
oh,
it.
No.
But, you know, I try to keep it on a regular basis. You know.
Sometimes once a week. We weren't really great about doing it in the winter. It was just too cold.
Yeah, right. That's no excuse. No,
yeah,
I'm just
yeah.
kidding. Now, if people want to get a hold of you, how can they do so?
Okay. My website is tuneinwithme.com, TuneinWithme. And my phone number is 214-263-7004.
Okay. Well, now, you continue on with these readings? I mean, you're planning to do this for the next several years, or do you think you'll move on to something different? Hard to say. What are you feeling right now?
I'm literally in a quandary with it all. I don't know how much further I'm going to be able to take the bowl. It's just, you know, just myself and the bowl. It's not as though I can stand in front of a group of people and do 100 readings at once. It's just one-on-one. So I don't know, but I don't think the bowl is ready to stop anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. You're going to go indefinitely with that?
Yeah, I'm sure I am.
And you have more shows coming up, or are you just going to take a little bit of a break now, maybe?
I'm on a little bit of break for the summer, and September I go back. September 9th I'll be at the Awaken Empowered Expo in Detroit, which is phenomenal. I think that's September. It's a full weekend, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. And they bring in some great speakers. I know Freddie Silva is coming in this year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the other people that will be there.
And what time of the year is this again?
That's September. I know the date I remember is September 9th.
Okay.
And it's in Detroit at the Doubletree.
Oh, okay. Is that on Ford Road or...? Not really sure.
I'm not sure what the
cross streets
are.
I know there's a Doubletree, or there used to be anyway.
But yeah, that's the Awake and Empowered Expo.
Okay.
So that one's good. So I've got that one coming up. Off the top of my head, I didn't write anything down. I don't remember what else I have going. But I have, once September hits, I know I'll be busy.
Yeah. Again.
Yeah.
It's good to take the summer off, right?
And oh, it'll help.
Yeah. So again, you don't give readings to your daughter, your husband, anybody like that, right?
Yeah. Oh, no. My husband, yeah. Oh, you're kidding me.
He doesn't really believe in it or
well,
necessarily that
he'll,
is?
He'll go for the healing modalities. I'm a foot reflexologist, so he enjoys that. And I think everything else is, I'm fine if I do that, but he doesn't need to know too much about it.
Yeah. He's, you're both good at where you're at, huh?
Yeah.
Well, Karen, thank you very much for being
on
the show. I really enjoyed the interview. It was fascinating. Thank you very much.
This was wonderful for me. Thank you for the experience. Thank you for it very much.
Okay, I am back, and once again, I just want to thank my guest for this month, Karen Morgan. She's an intuitive reader and healer, and she practices many modalities, and we touched on a few others, but primarily we talked about her ability to read stones using a special bowl, which helps to clear and activate people's chakras and also gives them a reading on what's going on in their life. And a very interesting conversation. I know I saw her at a couple different psychic fairs, or I should say holistic events, and always very busy. I was surprised every time I tried to talk to her, I just couldn't get to her. So nevertheless, I did want to get her on the show because it looked very interesting on what she did. And when she explained it, it is very interesting. Hope you enjoyed that explanation and finding out about what she does with the stones and her special bowl. All right, be sure to join me for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking on the third Tuesday of next month. I want to thank my producer, Mike Intiman, for helping me on this edition of Metaphysically Speaking. And with that being said, thank you for listening. Have a great day, everybody.
I believe that the flying saucers are objects from another planet.
The Navy has no saucer-shaped aircraft or missile.
There's no good reason for keeping this secret for three decades.
The government's been lying about UFOs for 50 years.
What is that?
Okay.
Five, six, seven, right.
You guys ever seen anything like this before?
That's one object.
Whoa.
That's definitely not a plane.
What do you think that was?
I'm David Twitchell, the host of We Are Not Alone, celebrating its 12th year on WHFR. Join me the first Tuesday of each month at 1 p.m. when scientists and ufologists from around the world share their latest evidence in support of the UFO phenomenon. That's the first Tuesday of each month at 1 p.m. We are not alone.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio.
And dolls, you are at the malt shop with Daddy G, and we are going back to the 50s and the 60s. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror and grab your favorite squeezer and head on down to the malt shop where the jukebox is playing, the kids are dancing, and here we are back in the 50s.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. What you